Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Hello, I'm Tom Butler.
I'm Brendan Duffy.
And I'm Tom Wheatley.
And you're listening to the James Bond A to Z podcast.
Join us as three lifelong 007 fans go on a journey of discovery.
We're on a mission to discover everything we can about cinema's greatest spy films.
By learning about the people who made them, in front of the camera and behind.
The James Bond A to Z podcast is in no way affiliated with James Bond, Eon, or the Fleming Estate. We've researched each episode as extensively as we can, but our information does come from a range of sources. We do our best to make sure the information is accurate, but sometimes we can get it wrong. If you want to correct us on something or add some more detail, email us at podcast@jamesbondatoz.co.uk.
Hello, you are listening to the James Bond A to Z podcast. I'm Tom, joined as always by the other Tom and Brendan.
Hello.
And hello. This time we have a very special guest, Mr. Calvin Dyson. Hello.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, thank you for coming and joining us. We are going to be talking about Pierce Brosnan, really just following on from the sort of the two-part episode we did just about the fifth James Bond. And yeah, I guess, first of all, Calvin, it'd be great if you just could introduce yourself and sort of just explain a little bit about how you got into, you know, the world of talking about James Bond online, which you are very famous for now.
Sure. I'm Calvin, and for about 10 years now, which is terrifying to think of, I've been keeping a YouTube channel, which is just sort of like my soapbox for talking about all things Bond, and it kind of just came out of being a student and around other film students who'd had little interest in Bond, so I just needed to kind of exploit the internet for my own conversational purposes. But it just kept on going for 10 years, and it's a lovely hobby, and you get to meet a lot of nice, cool new people and chat about Bond, so it's great.
You don't find that you're getting bored of Bond yet?
No, still not. It's still, yeah, it's it never loses its appeal. It's kind of, it's helpful that there are so many offshoots. There's like the films, the books, the games, the music, that there's so many different tangents that you can go out on, and there's such variety to it. So yeah.
I think it's quite comforting to immerse yourself in something like this. Like, I think before we started the podcast, I mean, I think we were all very like strong James Bond fans, but actually now immersing ourselves in it all the time, it's nice. It's very comforting, especially like now at the moment when there's not much else going on. It's nice to have that to fall back on, I think.
I totally agree.
Well, we're only 3 months in, so
ask us again.
Report back after the first year.
Are you all like equal level fanatics, or are like some of you like more fanatical about it than others? I'm just curious.
I think we're all probably about the same in terms of our love of Bond. Some of us like buying Bond tap more than other people.
But we're all pretty much on the same level when it comes to knowledge and...
And passion, and, definitely. Yeah, well, Brendan won the Christmas quiz that we did, so he's the man with the detail, I think.
Bit of a sore point.
But yeah, I guess we're now getting to a point where we're overloaded with knowledge, I think. I think the quiz will be much more harder this time round.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. And you probably found this as you've gone along, where you talk about something to do with Bond early on, and then over the months and weeks, you suddenly have much more knowledge around all those areas. And when you talk about something else, you suddenly it's way easier to talk about it because you've got all these pots of information to pull in from.
Oh, I completely agree. And you end up like appreciating things like more. Like sometimes when you know a bit of behind the scenes stuff about it, and then that can change your perception of the film, which is really nice. I feel like, you know, every week, you know, I could, do a full ranking of the Bond films and it would be different every time because it just depends on what mood you're in and kind of what you've heard about the others and all that kind of stuff, which is nice. Yeah.
Well, Brendan was talking, we occasionally do a group watch of a Bond film when we're going to talk about it. And, we were saying that when you watch the credits at the start, the credits suddenly become amazingly more interesting when you know every name in it. And you just like, oh, I see. I get it now.
That's true. Yeah. Like, oh, wow, Arthur Wooster did the cinematography for this one.
But yeah, you talked about your rankings there, Calvin. And I guess that's why I sort of contacted you in the first place to see if you'd speak about it. Because I know you're obviously a big Pierce Brosnan fan.
Oh, yeah. Massively. Well, you guys are as well, aren't you? Like, I think, Tom, was it you that said he's like your favourite Bond or...
Brendan.
Well, he's my favourite Bond. Yes.
Amazing.
But by some way as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. Who's second, just out of curiosity?
Connery.
Oh, okay then. Yeah. Nice.
So, yeah, you ranked Pierce Brosnan as your second and GoldenEye is your second film, right?
Well, it's probably my favourite now. It's like what I said about rankings. Again, it's like that and Skyfall seem to flip around for me quite a lot. But I think GoldenEye is just like sensational across the board. It just has all of the right elements.
Yeah.
And I think Pierce is great in it as well.
Yeah, that's what we spoke about on the Brosnan episode as well. We were in agreement with that. You talk about Brosnan falling out of favour with like the Bond fans recently.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
Well, I have a theory that, because I grew up in like the 90s and early 2000s stuff when Pierce was Bond, and I have a theory that whoever the incumbent is always sort of has this sort of halo around them, where when it comes to sort of like general pop culture, obviously everyone says Connery's the best because it's Connery, and then the second best is always whoever the incumbent is, and then the one previous to the incumbent is often sort of, I don't know if it's just like most recent X syndrome or what, where people just have this like unnecessary disdain, and it takes a little bit longer, because I remember like growing up when Pierce was Bond and Timothy Dalton was hardly spoken about at all, and now he's sort of been reappreciated and his films are reappraised, and similar to Roger Moore as well. I think like his, and you know, there's always going to be someone sort of at the bottom, and at the moment I feel like that's Pierce, and I don't know if it's just going to take a few more years to get to a point where he is appreciated a bit more. But I think we are well overdue a Pierce Brosnan renaissance.
Do you think the Brosnan films will age well in that way in say 10 years time? Do you think people look back and go, they were classics, or do you think they'll be, well, maybe one was a classic, not a fan of the other ones?
I think it might end up being a bit like when you Roger Moore fans, of which I am definitely one. Well, I would never try to convince anyone that Moonraker is a great bit of filmmaking, but my God, I have so much fun watching it, and there's so much great stuff in it. And I know people are... I know you had Mark O'Connell on a few weeks ago on the podcast, and he's a big fan of A View to a Kill as well, which, again, is not a film that people are gonna, you know, put next to Citizen Kane or The Godfather or anything like that, but people...
Mark did.
Yeah. But people do love it, and I think it's going to be... I think GoldenEye is going to be looked upon as being a real classic, and the other ones are going to have their fans. Even Die Another Day, some people even like that. I can't quite go that far.
But... It's growing on me.
It's interesting that you talk about the Roger Moore stuff, because, I mean, that's pretty much spot on. I imagine... Die Another Day will be looked back on in future years as this 90s kind of over-the-top film that people go, oh, that's a brilliant, fun film. But yeah, it's definitely in the Roger Moore ilk for me. I suppose the Roger Moore films are so far away that you don't really know what it was like when they were released. Every time anyone talks about them, or it's in magazines and books, it's always like, it was so popular, everyone loved it. But they might say that about Die Another Day in 20 years' time, because it made a lot of money.
Oh yeah, it was popular and people did love it at the time. And like, I was like, certainly like, I was like 13 years old when it came out. It's like first Bond film that I was seeing at the cinema, so I couldn't have been more perfectly pitched to see it. And I remember loving it and all of its audacity. And then I remember even when Casino Royale came out, it was because Craig wasn't properly established, and even then, looking back on Die Another Day with some sort of rose tinted glasses about how the films used to be and everything, not quite got that same opinion now, but
yeah. I don't mind Die Another Day. Like, we watched it recently, and I think there's worse Bond films. I think it's crimes are less egregious than maybe I remember them being, having revisited it recently. But I wonder with Brosnan whether it's a matter of statistics in terms of like the percentage of great Bond films that he did compared to, you know, the others. And actually, GoldenEye, I think, is one of the all-time greats. In fact, I think it's probably the greatest of the modern ones. But when you look back and think, you know, Connery probably had three great ones, three not so good ones, Roger probably the same. It's just that he wasn't Bond for long enough to establish himself as the best, I think, possibly.
Yeah, would have loved him to have that fifth film. As much as I do love what they did with Casino Royale and the whole reboot and everything, I would just love to see that, you know. Well, I mean, technically, in a way, we all, you know, almost had it with Everything or Nothing, the video games. I don't know if you... Did you guys play the video games at all when they were coming out? Nightfire and that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sprinkling of them. Yeah, I don't ever remember getting massively involved in any of them. I think, yeah, Nightfire I played for a bit, but I was still in that GoldenEye world where everything just disappointed me after that.
GoldenEye is so iconic. I think, like, just GoldenEye as a brand is, like, separate to Bond now, it feels, because of that game and, like, all of the games that came after it. But Everything or Nothing is, like, a great, like, fifth Pierce film if they went on that same trajectory and they're doing, like, invisible suits and platinum tanks and all, like, outrageousness like that. But I guess that's the kind of trajectory they would have continued on in the films. But it's just a really cool kind of glimpse into what might have been.
Well, talking about the video games, Calvin, you spend a lot of time talking about the Bond video games. And I guess that's an area that I'm not as familiar with. What are the other games that are worth looking into if you're going to go back and revisit any of them?
Oh, well, it is all Brosnan-era games, I would say, which is, like, I mean, GoldenEye, obviously, N64 GoldenEye is just iconic. The World Is Not Enough, which was its follow-up on the Nintendo 64, that one's really terrific as well. And again, Pierce isn't doing... The only one he actually did the voice work for was Everything or Nothing, and he lent his likeness to some of them, and they've got, like, sound-alikes. But I don't know if that just association of, like, you know, every time you played GoldenEye with your mates, Pierce's face would be, like, sticking up from the Nintendo 64, and you just associate looking at him with having fun. I don't know, but it's... They kind of went off piece a bit, and for Agent Under Fire, which was the first Bond game on, like, the PlayStation 2 in that era, they just created their own original cipher of Bond. And I think a guy called Andrew Bicknell did the voice. And he was kind of supposed to be like a Pierce Brosnan, Roger Moore sort of combination. But then after that, for Nightfire, they got Pierce Brosnan's likeness back in, even though it wasn't his voice. And Nightfire and Agent Under Fire are great as well. But Everything or Nothing is the one that people look back on in terms of Pierce's sort of video game era with an awful lot of fondness. Because it had an original story, and Willem Dafoe as a villain, and Shannon Elizabeth as a Bond girl, and all that. So it was a really classy product, really.
Hmm. It's in that heyday of every major film release getting its a counterpart game, wasn't it? And that was as exciting as the film, but it obviously doesn't exist anymore, really. But are you excited about the new Bond game?
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited. It's like ticking so many boxes for me. I love it when the Bond games just do an original story, because so much of the, you know, so much of Bond stories are kind of the same thing, but with tweaked elements here and there, and it depends on who you cast as the villain, and the difference between Goldfinger and Max Zorin isn't, you know, quite that different, so you might as well kind of do your own thing and create your own characters, and the upcoming Bond game seems to be doing that. I think the Craig games took a bit of a step back because they were just doing the films. They just did Quantum of Solace or 007 Legends. It's just Craig's Bond in Die Another Day and Majesty's Secret Service and all that. Whereas I think the Pierce films coincided with where the video game licensing was at really nicely, and we just have some really cracking Bond games that unfortunately will probably never see the light of day again on some kind of, you know, remake or HD upgrade or anything like that, which is a shame, just because the rights are all over the place. But yeah.
So to bring it back to Brosnan, we were talking about you know, GoldenEye being that sort of crowning achievement, but he's sort of not quite there as Bond almost. He improves as Bond over the next few films. But remember when it came out, there was, you know, the talk was he was the best Bond since Connery, which I guess is what they always say. But do you think my theory was that if he'd just done one, if he'd done a Lazenby and just made one film, that we'd still be talking about him as the best Bond since Connery. Do you think that's a fair theory, or do you think I'm off mark there?
No, I think you might be, sadly, very on mark, because I would rate some of his later performances and later films very much as well. But GoldenEye is certainly the one that sticks in people's minds, even in Pierce's own mind. Like, you know, in that Everything or Nothing documentary when he's like, he can't even remember whether it was Tomorrow Never Dies or The World Is Not Enough that they were filming. But GoldenEye just has that special place in people's memories. So I think you're onto something there. Right? I think his legacy might just be as strong if it was just GoldenEye that was there. But you guys liked his performance in The World Is Not Enough as well, didn't you?
Yeah. So I think our general consensus on Brosnan is that he was always good, and it was the films. I'm not as big a Brosnan fan as these other two, and I always think that with his films, he's very good in them, but the films tend to let him down a bit, or the scripts, or kind of the way that those films went. So I always think that he just didn't get an opportunity to be an even better Bond, really. It was a bit annoying for him.
Yeah, I think that's kind of true, particularly with The World Is Not Enough, which is a film that I really love. Like, it's in my top five, and I think it's very undervalued. For what they try to do with his character, like the whole idea that the main villain of the film is the main Bond woman of the film is really, like, strong, and you know, he has all these scenes to play, but something about like how they're staged, how they're directed, it just comes across so soapy. And when like Elektra's slapping him across the face, it's such a get out of my pub kind of moment, and it just like, oh, it's just not quite as I don't love it quite as much as I want to, even though I think he's doing a terrific job with it. Yeah. Maybe gets a little bit too hammy and Die Another Day, but he certainly kind of peaks with World Is Not Enough, I think.
But he always looks like he's having fun the whole time.
Oh yes,
which I think is key to his performance. For me personally, if he's having fun, I'm having fun. So
yeah,
that's true.
So you can always break down the Bonds by the ones that look like they're having fun, or the ones that don't look like they're having fun.
And it's weird that the ones that seem to hate it the most, like Connery and Craig, are the ones that are like have the most adoration. It's like, we can only really accept you if you hate doing it. But I love that about Brosnan, because that was what made it infectious and cool. And, you know, you did sort of want to step into his shoes and have those gadgets and cars and go on these adventures and everything. Whereas now I don't know if you have that so much with Craig. He spends so much time sort of moping around, and it's lacking that kind of fun element that I think Brosnan brought. And that's not to do, you know, dog on Craig's version too much. I think he's very much doing a different thing and a more prestigious thing, definitely. But yeah, Brosnan had the fun factor.
So if Brosnan had done one more Bond after Die Another Day, what would you have really wanted to see happen in that film?
Oof, that's really tough.
I'll tell you what,
would you like it to go more ridiculous? Or would you like it to go more serious?
I mean, part of me would like to see it go more ridiculous, just because I love the campiness, the larger-than-life stuff, like big villains, and like Invisible Car was, I'm fine with that in Die Another Day. I know people complain about it. I'm actually all right with it. I don't know, what about you guys? Like, is there anything that you would have liked to have seen him?
I would like to see him doing the, addressing his age as Bond, doing the, going sort of down the Daniel Craig route in that, you know, he's the old, or even the Never Say Never Again route, where he's the old hand at being the secret agent, where he's more on a level pegging with M, and just sort of seeing him reckoning with his past, I think. I think that would have been interesting, giving him more to chew on, really. Mm. Because he did get a lot of dramatic stuff. You know, like you said, you've got his betrayal with Alec in GoldenEye, and then you've got the ex-girlfriend in Tomorrow Never Dies, and it's sort of, and then The World Is Not Enough, and then obviously things go off the rail a bit in Die Another Day, but it felt like it was moving towards something a bit more weighty for him, but alas, we never got to see that.
Yeah, it's a shame, particularly with Die Another Day, because that whole, you know, him being captured and tortured, it's such wasted potential, really, because that is such strong dramatic stuff. Like, you could have him dealing with the ramifications of that throughout the film, and they do kind of drop it. I do think that his films do a lot of the emotional arcs that he goes on and the emotional side of the storytelling is pretty good, actually. I know that people tend to complain about that element with the Craig films now, and it's like, oh god, why does every mission have to be personal, and can't he just be sent on a mission and defeat the villain and save the world and that be it? I don't know if we ever could have that anymore. I think if you want to get good actors to the part, then you need to give them scenes to play and dramatic stuff. And I think they balance that quite well with Pierce's films. There's always some kind of personal element in there, tied into the main villain's plot and everything. But it's never too heavy-handed. It's just always nicely sort of peppered in.
Yeah, I mean, I've personally not ruled out him making a comeback.
Yeah.
I'm still hanging on.
He looked great in November Man and, oh, what was the other one? Foreigner, yeah, he looked great in both of those. He could definitely still do it, I think. He's, yeah.
It would be a really interesting detour for them to take before the next Bond comes along, to take a step back and sort of, you know, the timeline doesn't matter, does it? You could still bring another Bond back. And, you know, you could even bring Judi Dench as an aged, like, you know, M, you know, in a nursing home or whatever. I think that would be fantastic. We've talked about it before, but, like, you know, like a Logan-esque Bond coming back to avenge an old flame. I'd love to see him with Wai Lin as well from Tomorrow Never Dies. I always felt like that was the one that got away for him.
Tricky. Oh, yeah. You probably have to make two. You'd have to do the one that makes the money, because ultimately those kind of concepts, they're not going to work for a new audience, are they? They're not going to care about M in a care home. Pierce Brosnan. It's not going to make the same level of like profits that those other films will. But it would be nice to see if they made it two in a year and go, we're going to make this one and do the big budget one.
Well, how's this? If it ends up at MGM ends up at Apple, you know, a streaming service, a streaming series with Brosnan as an old Bond, and then you've got the mainstream. Mm-hmm.
It's inevitable, isn't it? Something like that is going to happen at some point. The world's moving to these series.
Yeah, I wonder if anyone would be bold enough to suggest it to Eon. I don't know. I'm sure they probably consider anything, don't they? I'm sure everything will be in the mix for the next time.
Well, you could do all of them, couldn't you? You could just stay in the canon of old Bond series and get the older actors. Not all of the older actors, obviously, but you could even do a Dalton one, maybe.
That would be great.
For a shorter series, yeah.
Yeah, speaking of Dalton, which would you rather have, Living Daylights with Pierce Brosnan or Casino Royale with Pierce Brosnan?
Ooh. Because obviously he could have been the Living Daylights Bond, right? As we discussed at great length.
I think it would have to be Living Daylights, actually. I think he would fit in with that vibe a bit better. Like, Casino Royale as it is built is such a, like, it has to be a first time Bond adventure. I would have loved to have seen that Pierce Brosnan Quentin Tarantino Casino Royale. Obviously that never happened, but I think that would have been incredible to see. What do you guys think, Casino Royale or Living Daylights?
Well, I personally would think Casino Royale. I think, I mean, maybe not the Tarantino version, but a version with Brosnan with a bit more dramatic stakes to it. I think it could have been interesting. Like, it could have been exactly what I was talking about, you know, a bit more drama for him to get his teeth into, the betrayal, the sort of the slowing down of the pace. Because obviously if we had Living Daylights with Pierce Brosnan, then we would never get, you know, the Dalton films. And then we may never have got GoldenEye, and, you know, the knock-on effect would be too much for me, I think.
But then if he does Casino Royale, we might not get Craig. Who knows where it goes from there?
That's true.
It's all such, like, in the moment, isn't it? Which I thought was really great. Like, the what you covered in the podcast about, like, how close it was to being Pierce Brosnan, and then it just didn't happen, and they had to get Timothy Dalton in. It just always seems so. And they always put, you know, they always put the PR spin on it of, oh, well, yes, of course, we always wanted Timothy Dalton from the start. And it was like, well, you didn't quite. It is just such a, like, who's around at the moment, and we need to get the best person possible. Just like they would have had to have done for No Time to Die if Craig hadn't just decided to come back. Spectre could have been his last film, and we could have had someone new.
I think it'd be really refreshing if one day they do a press junket, and they go, okay, we didn't want this guy, but the other guy wouldn't come back, so we're stuck with him.
Yeah, woe betide the person that asks them, do you wish you'd made this next one with Daniel Craig when the next one comes in? Because that will not go down well.
God, could you imagine? God.
If you could have placed Brosnan in any other Bond film, which one would it be?
Oh, in any other Bond film? As in kind of just lifting out the whoever the Bond was and plopping in Brosnan?
Yeah, if there was a Bond film that's... Or any of the Bond films that have already been made, which one do you think would suit him the best?
I kind of feel like Octopussy, maybe? I'm a big fan of that film. It's one of my favourite Roger Moores. And I just think that that kind of vibe is really good for him, where it is a bit of a more light-hearted, capery kind of adventure. But there is some dramatic stuff in there as well, like when VJ gets killed and all that. So, I think that'd be a nice sort of place for tonally where I like to see him.
I'd be going Honor Majesty's.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah.
I think the only weak point of that is Lazenby. So why not take him out and put Brosnan in?
Put the best Bond in, yeah. He feels like a very much a natural fit for any of the Roger Moore films, let's be honest, I think. I think he would have been very good in something weird like, you know, Live and Let Die. I think he could have done something very interesting with that film, but I don't know.
I think Roger Moore's the way to go, isn't he? You could definitely just slip him in there and people would be like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Not an issue at all.
It is hard to imagine him in something like From Russia with Love because it just feels so... Yeah, I'm sure he could do it because I think he's a really great actor and a very underrated actor. But it's just, yeah, with where he has sort of put himself in his career, it is hard to imagine him in such a part.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? With a lot of the Bond films, it's you see the... The Bonds kind of, the ones that you class as great actors, do generally get quite good films to show their acting in. And Roger never really, you know, Octopussy and stuff, he never really got Shakespeare-level acting opportunities in those films. And Craig obviously does as well. But I don't know, do you think Brosnan has had the opportunity to really show he's a good actor? Or do you think it's just he's done the best with what he's got? And he may not be amazing, he's just maybe a Roger Moore type character.
I think they could have given him more opportunities, maybe. And I think, again, to go back to The World Is Not Enough again, I think that that's a kind of perfect example of where there is some really dramatic potential for storytelling in there. But I think they were perhaps a bit shackled to the ingredients that they needed to, that they felt that they needed to put in, where, you know, we had to have a Q scene, we had to have gadgets, and they felt so rigidly attached to that structure that kind of like trying to crowbar it open and stick in some kind of emotional journey just needed a bit more finessing. Because up until Timothy Dalton, you don't really have much of that. They tried it with George Lazenby in Majesty's Secret Service, and there are definitely dramatic scenes throughout Connery and Moore's tenures, but they are kind of happy to show up and just be the hero and save the day and all that kind of stuff. And like I say, they will get scenes every now and then where they have to mourn a dead comrade or something like that. But, I mean, I think Roger Moore was a really underrated actor as well, but he's not demanding the dramatic scenes as an excuse to get out of bed, whereas actors these days are, because they train for years and years and come up in their career, and if all you're going to do is ask them to raise an eyebrow and look debonair, they're going to want more to do, really.
Well, we were talking about the other films that he made outside of Bond. I think that's where we were sort of leading it. And I guess I'd say my personal favourite is Mrs. Doubtfire of his. I mean, he doesn't get much to do in that. And my other favourite is the Long Good Friday as well. I think that's a fantastic film. And he's obviously only in it for minutes. But like, do you have a favourite Brosnan film beyond the Bond films?
Oh, probably Thomas Crown Affair. I think he's really good in that in particular. But I agree with Mrs. Doubtfire as well, and I really liked his character in that, just because you would expect him to be this sort of smarmy arsehole that Sally Fields is. You know, we don't want to like him, but they actually make him quite nice. I like that he's just a nice bloke that Robin Williams' wife is kind of falling for, which is sweet.
Well, Butler, you kind of hit that on the head, didn't you? He's the kind of guy that you wouldn't want.
He's your worst nightmare, isn't he? He's your ex.
Worst nightmare. He's actually a great guy.
Yeah.
If he was a horrible guy, he wouldn't be so bad.
That's what that film does really well, I think. It really subverts what you expect from that guy. It's just a great role for him, isn't it? He plays that so well.
He's perfect in it. And I do like his kind of, while he was Bond and the kind of roles he was doing, like in Dante's Peak and Thomas Crown Affair, that kind of thing, I do really like. If you want to see him do really bad acting, I don't know if, has any of you seen IT? I know you covered it. I can't remember if anyone had watched it.
Is that the quite recent one?
Yeah, it was very recently, wasn't it?
Is that the one with 1% on Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh, it might well be. It's deservedly so if it is. But it's kind of hilarious. Like, I recommend, like, you know, if you, well, after pandemic, if you can, like, yeah, get some friends around with beers or something and just watch it, because it's just, it's hilariously bad. Someone, like, hacks into Pierce Brosnan's character's smart home and just, like, starts setting off the microwave at, like, 3 a.m. and you just have scenes of Pierce Brosnan running through his house screaming at all of his smart speakers. And it's
Are you
just,
sure
it's
this was 1%, funny. Brendan? it's not adding up.
They could have had a lot of fun with that, because he played a smart home in The Simpsons, didn't he? In a Treehouse of Horror. So he could,
absolutely right.
He could have played the smart his own smart home. That would have been... It'd have done better than 1%, wouldn't it?
Oh no, I love that. That's like a career bookend almost. You go from playing the smart home to being terrorized by the smart home.
He's got an interesting film coming up, I've noticed. This A24 horror film that he's making, where he plays like a creepy doctor or something. I'm looking forward to that.
I am looking forward to it as well. And I think just seeing him in more those kinds of roles, because I think he's at a point now where he can do really interesting, weird things with his career. And I just want to see what he does. I don't know if I really want him to go down the Liam Neeson route, where he's sort of this aging action hero trying to save his daughter from kidnappers or whatever. I kind of would like him to make more interesting choices like this. But is there a trailer out or anything? I don't know if I've seen anything yet.
Images, just stills. I think the trailer will come out soon, because I think it's out in the summer, so I'm sure we'll get something on it soon.
Okay.
But I think what I really like about Pierce, I mean, obviously I don't know him, but I'm calling him Pierce, but like... is that he doesn't, I mean, he's obviously made enough money, but it doesn't seem like he's that bothered about having an amazing, like, acting. He doesn't seem to be wanting to keep busy all the time. I think he's just enjoying his life. That's what I like about him. Have you ever met him, Calvin? Have you ever crossed paths with him?
I did once, randomly, really bizarrely. Yeah. Do you know this? Did I make a video on
No, I think I may have seen something on your YouTube, but I wanted to hear it from yourself.
Oh, yeah. Well, I won't go into the really long details of it, but I was in Iceland for my 30th birthday, like, a couple of years ago now, and me and my partner went to the Blue Lagoon Spa there, and because it was, like, it was my birthday, we, like, did the VIP experience thing, because it was just like, well, we're here, why not? And he was there, and it was just so weird, because I felt like I was having an out-of-body experience, like, walking past this, because he must have been there filming the Eurovision film that he did with Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams. And it was just so, like, walking past him, because he was just, like, sat at the bar, like, in one of the bench seats at the bar, and just with this, like, big beard, looking, like, so ridiculously, like, impossibly handsome. I'm just like, it's a really, you know, handsome older gentleman there. And then just getting closer, goes, God, he looks an awful lot like Pierce Brosnan. Wait, I think it is Pierce Brosnan. And then we kind of got shown to our changing rooms, and I was like, I think that was Pierce Brosnan. And my partner was like, who cares? We're here. Let's, you know, went out, and then he'd gone. So it was like, okay, well, I guess I'll never know if it was Pierce Brosnan or not. And then later on, we were in our swimming shorts, like, in the water, like, swimming around. And then sure enough, we come around a corner, and then Pierce Brosnan's just there, like, topless, just, like, coming out of the water, like Ursula Andress, which is just really bizarre. And then his wife, like, came along as well, and she said hi, but I was just like, he definitely had a look on his face where he could probably tell that I was, like, a fan freaking out, but I just daren't say anything because we're in a spa and we're, like, semi-naked, so I can't, like, go up to him and say, oh, hello, Mr. Brosnan, I'm a massive fan. So I just had to leave it be. But it was insane, like, just bumping into him. It was crazy.
That's mad.
Well, Bond, like, in person is one thing, but to see them walking out of a pool with no top on, it's... It's a difficult one to manage, isn't it?
It was mad, yeah. It's crazy. Absolutely unbelievable. But, but I hear from other people that who've met him and, like, talked to him, when, you know, t-shirts have been worn and stuff, that he's actually like a really lovely, down-to-earth guy. And I think you can, I think you mentioned it as well in your podcasts about him in interviews. He just seems like a really nice bloke and a really decent human being, and particularly with all of the tragedies that he's had in his life. Someone showed me an interview recently from an Irish talk show he was on, and I think the guy's name is Dick Byrne, who was doing the interview, and it just turned really, like, the interviewer just suddenly started saying, like, oh, well, now that you're big and famous and everything, do you think it's gonna last with you, with your girlfriend, wife, whatever she was then, I can't remember. And it's just like, God, what a horrible thing to ask in an interview. But Pierce was just handled it like a real gentleman, and Keely was there in the audience as well, and he just said some lovely things about her, and it was like, oh, wow, you know, you're a really top bloke, actually, and they're still together now, which is so lovely.
Yeah, we talked about that, didn't we? About he just seems like a man of great dignity and honor, especially with, you know, when he married his first wife, you know, he took on her children, and like, as quite a young guy, I think, which I think just speaks a lot about him as and his character. And, you know, he's had a few sort of moans about Bond, but actually since leaving Bond, he hasn't like he hasn't burned his bridges, has he? Like, you know, Connery did. So I don't know. I respect him for that.
He's probably come off the best. You know, you get this thing with Bonds where sometimes they kind of get lost in the world of Bond. Once they've done Bond, it's very difficult for them to break out of it. But I don't think Pierce ever had that problem. He was always... He seems to have the opportunity and the choices to do whatever he wants, really. He's not typecast. And he does some... And Brendan will talk about this at length, his amazing work in Mamma Mia. And that's...
fantastic. Yeah. So good.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think he's definitely... He should be quite happy, really, because it's not like, you know, Connery's problems he had with the Bond, holding the Bond position. And obviously Moore never had any of those problems at all, but he never really moved on from Bond afterwards, did he? So Piers has definitely worked his way through it and really benefited from it.
I think he also benefits from the fact that it's a short period of time.
Hmm.
So that he hasn't spent years of his career being Bond. It was, what, 7 years, wasn't it? So
yeah,
he's then... been able to go and do other stuff.
Yeah, he's had a pretty eclectic career by any account, and probably the most of all the Bonds, really.
Yeah, I was just thinking that then, actually, now that you mentioned it, because it's I mean, certainly, I mean, obviously Connery went on Oscar winning and, you know, very much a movie star, but other than Connery, Brosnan's probably the only other one that's had a post Bond career where he's very much sort of stayed a star, because Roger obviously did films, but a lot of supporting stuff, and he seemed happy just to kind of retire and do the occasional job. And I know that Dalton's very big on stage, but and on TV, but Pierce is still very much in the movies, which is cool.
And you've also got this thing with Pierce where he's not, Bond hasn't, it's not a bad thing that he did Bond. For Connery, it was a bad thing, wasn't it? He had major issues with it, and he wanted to distance himself for quite a while. Whereas Pierce, he'll do a film like Bond. He'll do a load not like Bond. It's up to him, really.
And you know he'd love to be still doing it now, probably. Like, yes, he'd probably love to have done a couple more. Or
still waiting for that call from Brendan to make the next one.
Get a Kickstarter going. You can do this. GoFundMe.
I just want someone to make the poster. Just an old man Logan type poster with Pierce Brosnan with his beard on it. That's all I want. That's enough for me.
Yeah.
So talking about just we might as well just move it along a little bit, talking about Bond next. I mean, Calvin, you must get asked all the time, but what would you like to see next after Daniel Craig for Bond?
Oh God. I would probably like to see something like Pierce Brosnan, or more back into that tone. It's probably where I am, just sort of I naturally fit a bit better, really. As in, kind of like, you know, go back to having some of the fancy cars and, you know, with the gadgets and that kind of thing. I would perhaps like something a bit more like that instead of this kind of story arc structure that Craig's gone on. And again, that's not to dog on Craig too much, because I love Casino Royale and I love Skyfall so much. But
I think you can do. I think you can do a film like that. I think they've been a bit afraid to sort of go too far into that, and that might be something to do with Daniel Craig. But I think they can. I think the Mission Impossible films show that you can do, you know, high-tech gadgets. Like, even in that, they've got an invisible wall at one point, right? They don't shy away from it, right? So I think it can be done. And talking about Mission Impossible, I don't know why I was thinking about this the other day, but I think this may make the others enemies of me, but I think J.J. Abrams would be a great person to have a go at redoing Bond, because, hear me out, I read this. I remember once reading this really great thing about J.J. Abrams, and they called him a franchise reupholsterer, which I thought was really interesting. He's got a way of seeing a franchise for what it is, picking out the interesting points and just stuffing it and just making it like good again. He did it for Star Trek. He did it for Mission Impossible. He did it for Star Wars. He recognizes the cool elements of something and is able to translate that into something that's exciting and that can move and that can, you know, do really big business. Yeah. Those three, the Mission Impossible 3, Star Trek and Star Wars all did massive gangbusters at the box office. I think he'd be a good choice for the next Bond film. Whether they would want to spend that money,
he certainly reupholstered it.
Yeah,
but he didn't. He didn't turn it into a long term thing, did he? He fixed those things very nicely and made them exciting again. But then it kind of fizzled out, and whatever he'd done didn't quite carry on. So I'd be worried if he was to start a new Bond series that the first one would be massive and, you know, like a copy of an earlier one and all of the various elements you have, but then it just kind of fizzles out a bit after that.
I don't know. I feel like he did the Mission Impossible job he did with Mission Impossible 3. I think that's, for me, that's the peak of those films, that one that he did. And, you know, they managed to move that on in ways that are, you know, still really interesting to me anyway. But anyway, that's just my pennies. Have you got a choice for who would you like to be your next Bond, Calvin?
Not a clue. It'll probably end up being someone that we're not even talking about now. You know, it's one of those things where it is just whoever's sort of in the... Like, I don't know, did anyone even, like, really know who Daniel Craig was to the extent that he would become, like, before Bond? Because I'd definitely seen him in, like, Munich and stuff, but I don't know if I'd ever...
Layer Cake, I think, is the thing that really put him on the map, wasn't it? But I don't think anyone...
Tomb Raider.
Yeah, but no one was watching that going, oh, there's the next Bond.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, Tom, I think, like, what you were saying about J.J. Abrams, I think, like, who the next director is almost kind of as important as who the next Bond is now, because they do this thing where they do go for prestige directors like Sam Mendes and Mark Foster and, I'm really looking forward to No Time to Die, because I think Cary Fukunaga has a great sensibility, and I think he's got a good sense of humour and he gets it, whereas I don't know if Sam Mendes ever really... did. Sam Mendes very much had his idea of what a Bond film should be, and again, I love Skyfall to bits, but yeah, I don't know if he is just a little bit too sort of highbrow for it, I want to say. But I think J.J. Abrams would actually do a really good job. I think what you said about him, almost in that Spielberg kind of way, he just kind of hones in on what kind of the every person would relate to in a story and what's cool and humorous and interesting about it. And I think that's a good base to start. Certainly before, you know, The Rise of Skywalker, I would have completely agreed with you. After The Rise of Skywalker, I'm slightly, you know, on the fence. But
yeah, totally agree. I thought that movie was just undid everything, that all the hard work that they'd put in so far. But there you go. So, Calvin, what are you up to next in the world of Bond? Obviously, you're doing videos all the time for your YouTube channel, but what else have you got coming up?
It's just the videos, really. That's just my main hobby and keeps me sane in lockdown, which is very nice. Just sort of, keeping conversation about Bond, just sort of having a soapbox to rant my opinions about Bond is nice. Yeah, so more of that, really, and then just hoping that the film actually does come out later this year, September, October.
Yeah.
Have you got a lot of stuff planned around the film if it is actually released?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's always some things to talk about. Like, people do say, and I guess you will probably get this as well, or maybe have already got it, where you're like, how can you talk about Bond so much? Like, do you not run out of things to say? It's like, well, actually, there's so much to say. And, in fact, you can do an entire alphabet about it, which is great.
Or at least try.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
What are you going to do, like, if you get to, like, Z? Are you going to, like, start again at A again and go through like more things.
So many ideas. I mean, I know you're a Hitchcock fan, aren't you? We've talked about doing a Hitchcock series at some point. That's my preference. I'm not sure if everyone else is that's their preference. But there's all these other opportunities. We can carry on looking at Bond and go into more depth, or
we'll do the numbers next. We'll do 1 to 100.
Brilliant.
Who knows? Hopefully we'll get to. I'm just looking forward to Zukovsky, and that'll be the end of it. Hopefully. No.
Is that going to be a special?
That will be a big special, yeah, yeah. But yeah, I guess, so where can people find you online, Calvin?
Oh, they can find me on YouTube primarily. If you just Google Calvin Dyson, you'll find me. And that's Calvin spelt like Calvin Klein and Dyson like the Hoover, just for...
That's easy to remember. Yeah.
People always try to spell it with a K. I don't know why.
I would never consider Calvin with a K.
No, I know, me neither. And yet it comes up more than you would imagine.
Well, on that note, a letter, which is very fitting for the James Bond A to Z. I just wanted to say thank you, Calvin. I really appreciate you joining us for this episode, talking about Pierce Brosnan. Next episode, we will be moving on to the letter C, finally. But we may have another special episode before then, so keep an ear out for that. But if they want to, people want to find us, where can they find us?
At James Bond A to Z. That's on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
And on email at podcast@jamesbondatoz.co.uk.
Well, I guess that just about wraps things up. Thank you so much, Calvin. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Oh, no, thank you very much for having me on. Honestly, I've been, really enjoying the podcast so far. So it's, quite a thrill for me to be asked to come on. So thank you very much.
Great. James Bond thank will you. Return on the James Bond A to Z. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ciao.
The James Bond A to Z podcast features Tom Butler, Brendan Duffy, and Tom Wheatley. The podcast was produced by Tom Wheatley, with music by Tom Ingermels, and artwork supplied by Helen Dolly.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.